I did not expect, when I strapped a life vest on my arthritic 13-year-old dog, to see her move in the water with so much grace and joy, more joy than she had shown in months. But sometimes our dog surprises in the most beautiful ways. And that moment taught me something essential about the difference between caring for our senior dogs and truly understanding what makes them tick, what makes them really happy inside. And today, I would like to talk about that and why the distinction might be key to giving your aging companion the quality of life they deserve. Welcome to the Senior Dog Tales podcast. This podcast is about everything related to living with and caring for an aging dog. I'm Leida, a veterinarian in the Netherlands with more than 30 years of experience. For the last 21 years in my own practice, I've mainly focused on dogs, particularly dogs in the second half of their lives, dogs with life experience, so to speak. With this podcast, I want to share my knowledge and experience to help you make the golden years of your furry friend as happy and healthy as possible. Each episode will dive into different aspects of aging in dogs, from nutrition and exercise to medical care and dealing with age-related ailments. I hope this podcast will be a source of support and inspiration for you as you and your dog go through this special phase of life together. So we all understand that enrichment is essential for our dogs, right? Especially the type of people like you who listen to a podcast like this. We use puzzle feeders, snuffle mats, hide-and-seek games with treats. And they're not just fun activities. For our senior dogs especially, they serve as brain training that may help slow cognitive decline. Just like humans benefit from crossword puzzles and Sudoku, our aging dogs need mental stimulation to keep their minds sharp. And enrichment goes beyond just mental exercise. Even the gentlest activities, like working a food puzzle or snuffling around a snuffle mat, they encourage our dogs to move, to stretch, and to use their body in beneficial ways. They are getting light exercise without the stress on aging joints that, for instance, a long hike might cause. And there's also something beautiful happening chemically in the brain when our dogs engage in enrichment activities. Their brain releases endorphins, those wonderful happiness feel-good hormones that create feelings of satisfaction and well-being. These aren't just feel-good chemicals. They actually have practical benefits for senior dogs. They lower inflammation, and they can help reduce the perception of pain by affecting how pain signals travel through the nervous system. A content, mentally stimulated dog often experiences less discomfort from arthritis or other age-related conditions than without the mental stimulation. So, enrichment is not a luxury. It's medicine. It's therapy. It's an essential part of keeping our senior dogs not just alive, but truly living well. Now, here's where things get interesting, because most of the enrichment we provide generally comes from our perspective as loving dog parents. We think this puzzle will be good for Max's brain, or this snuffle mat will give Sadie something enjoyable to do. And that's absolutely wonderful. Don't get me wrong. It's wonderful and it's needed. But it's still us deciding what's good for them, isn't it? So let me ask you something. Think about your own hobbies and passions. Maybe you love gardening or reading or painting or knitting, whatever. Now imagine someone well-meaning decides that from now on you can only do crossword puzzles because they're good for your brain. Now you might cooperate for a while, especially if you love the person suggesting it, but would it give you the same deep satisfaction as your true passion? I think not. And this is the difference I would like to explore with you today. The difference between activities we choose for our dogs and activities that touch something deep in their souls. activities that connect with their breed heritage, their individual personality, their deepest instincts. For a retriever, for instance, carrying something in their mouth and bringing it back to you isn't just a trick. It's fulfilling a purpose bred into them for generations. For a terrier, digging isn't destructive behavior. It's connecting with many, many generations of genetic programming. And for some dogs, swimming isn't just exercise. It's pure, unadulterated joy. Now, let me tell you about one of my previous dogs, my girl, Kaina. She was such a lovely girl. She was a lab mix of unknown parentage. She was beautiful, she was spirited, and she lived life with enthusiasm. As a younger dog, she loved everything. She loved forest walks. She liked to play with other dogs, but not over enthusiastically, as some Labradors do. She was appropriate and good. And most of all, she loved swimming. Oh, how she loved to swim. But here's the thing. I did not live near good swimming spots. I lived near the forest. That was right there. Easy accessible, with off-lead areas, and very convenient. Swimming meant getting her in the car, driving for at least half an hour, finding a safe entry point. So, you can guess what happened. We walked in the forest almost every day, sometimes even three times a day, if weather and daylight allowed. But swimming became just an occasional treat. And as Kaina aged, I saw some of the changes I know many of you have seen in your own dogs. Her hindward quarters grew weaker. The bounce in her step gradually faded. She absolutely still enjoyed our forest walks, but something was missing. That spark, that joie de vivre that made her so special, that was slowly decreasing. Now, of course, I tried to help her with everything I could think of. Physical therapy, my own therapies, acupuncture, chiropractic, supplement, pain management. We had a lot of good days, but we definitely had challenging days. And I did notice that she was having fewer and fewer of those moments when she seemed truly happy and not just comfortable. So, one day, as I was wrestling with questions about quality of life, questions that keep us awake at night, wondering if we're being fair to our beloved companions, am I doing this just for me? Is life still fun for you? I had a memory flash. Kaina in the water, moving with freedom and such delight, her eyes bright with joy. When was the last time we'd gone swimming? And I couldn't even remember. And that realization just hit me like a ton of bricks. So I made a decision that afternoon. I found a spot with easy access to water, so no steep banks or challenging terrain. I packed a life vest for Kaina just to be safe, so that she would not sink, would be able to float in the water. I put on my own swimming clothes, so to get into the water with her. And the moment we arrived at the lake, something shifted. Even before she could see the water, Kaina's entire demeanor changed. Her ears perked up. That beautiful black nose went up in the air, tasting the air. Her tail perked up. There was an alertness in her eyes that I hadn't seen in months. And then she saw the water. You know, I wish I had videoed the whole thing. I wish you could have witnessed what happened next. I was just able to put the life vest on her. She had such purpose. She wanted to get into that water. And she walked into that water with more confidence than she'd shown on land in months. And once she was in the water, magic happened. She moved freely, with her life vest supporting her. She paddled around with such obvious joy. I really watched her come alive again in a way that no puzzle toy or enrichment activity had achieved. But here's the really remarkable part. The effect didn't end when we toweled off and went home. For days afterwards, Kaina had more energy, more interest in her surroundings, more enthusiasm for life in general. It was as if that one swimming session had recharged her batteries in a way that I hadn't thought possible. And so that day, I realized I'd been missing something essential in my approach to her care. You see, there's a fundamental difference between activities that engage our dogs and activities that fulfill them. Engagement is wonderful, it's needed, it keeps them busy, it provides mental stimulation, it strengthens the bond. But fulfillment, that's something truly deeper. That's about connecting with who they truly are at their core. When we tap into those deep-seated preferences and instincts, we're not just giving our dogs something to do, we're giving them a reason to feel enthusiastic about life again. And for senior dogs who may be dealing with physical limitations, reduced energy, or age-related changes, that enthusiasm can be absolutely transformative. So, think about the dogs you've known throughout your life. Haven't you noticed that some activities just seem to light them up in a special way? The border collie who becomes completely absorbed in herding games, even if that's with balls? The hunting dog who can spend ages following a scent trail and you have no idea what he or she is experiencing? And the retriever who never gets tired of fetch, no matter how old they get. These aren't just activities, they're expression of identity. So how do we apply this insight to our own senior dogs? How do we figure out what truly makes them happy? Even, especially if they've never shown any obvious breed-specific interests. So the first step is observation. Deep observation. Instead of watching to see what your dog will tolerate or participate in, watch for what creates genuine enthusiasm. What makes their eyes light up? And you'll know the difference. What do they choose to do when given complete freedom? Now, this might require some detective work, especially if your dog's preferences have been dormant for years. So think back to their younger days. What did they gravitate toward naturally? Some dogs who seem sedentary now might surprise you with their enthusiasm when reintroduced to a long-forgotten activity. But there is an essential part, adaptation. Your 12-year-old retriever might not be able to swim for an hour like she used to, but 15 minutes with a life vest might bring immense joy like it did to my Kaina. And your senior terrier might not be able to dig elaborate holes anymore. But a sandbox or a designated digging area in your yard might rekindle that spark. The key is thinking creatively about how to honor your dog's true nature while respecting their current physical limitations if they are present. Some practical steps. For instance, if you, it basically goes for any dog, but if you have a dog of a known breed, you can start with breed research, like what was this dog bred for originally. If you have a mixed breed and you know the breeds that make up the genetics of your dogs, look at all the breeds that you know are in there. But remember, not every dog fits their breed stereotype. Some retrievers hate water. Some terriers have no interest in digging. And sometimes you just don't know what breed or mixed breed your dog is. That's why observation is so important. Your individual dog is the expert on what makes them happy, and it might require some experimentation. So try reintroducing activities from their past, but with modifications if necessary. The goal isn't to recreate their youth, it's to reconnect with their essence. And don't be afraid to try completely new things. Maybe your senior dog has hidden talents or interests that you've never discovered. Approach this as an adventure that you're taking together. What I learned from kindness transformation extends beyond just activities. It's about truly seeing our dogs as individuals with preferences and desires and wishes that go beyond basic needs. It's about recognizing that quality of life isn't just about comfort and pain management, though those are, of course, absolutely crucial. It's also about joy, fulfillment, and purpose. And of course, the bonus is that these activities often become precious, shared experiences that strengthen our bond and create beautiful memories during what sometimes can be a challenging time. My Kaina was with me for another wonderful half year after that first swimming session. And of course, I made sure to include many more water adventures during that time. Some of my most treasured memories of her are from those swimming days. Watching her paddle around with such obvious contentment and delight. Seeing her sleep so peacefully afterwards. Knowing that I'd given her something that truly mattered to her. Now, your senior dog may not love swimming like Kaina did, but I guarantee there's something out there that will make their heart sing. Something that connects with who they really are beneath the grey muzzle and the slower gait. So the question is, what makes your dog's eyes light up? And more importantly, when are you going to make time for it? Because these moments, these glimpses of pure joy in our aging companions, they're not just good for them. They're a gift to us too. Because, let's face it, I can't imagine anything more precious than seeing my beloved dog totally, totally happy. Thank you for spending some time with me today. I hope you found value in this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, I would love it if you'd share it with other dog lovers like you and me. And of course, subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a single episode. And keep making those golden moments together with your dog. Until the next time.
Oh, this old friend, a heart so true.